This is WFAE News.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Several years ago, North Carolina lawmakers introduced a large tax incentive package they hoped would lure the movie and television industry back to the state. Given the number of movies and shows being shot here now, those incentives must have had an impact. Charlotte has become home to Showtime's hit series Homeland and to the Cinemax series Banshee. The most recent Iron Man film was shot in Wilmington, and that just scratches the surface. This is a clean industry that drops millions of dollars in the state and that also creates jobs, but there are some who feel we're not getting enough bang for the buck. So this hour, we take a look at the impact and effectiveness of incentives as a vehicle to lure movie and television production to the state, at the incentives themselves in terms of what we're giving up to attract that business, and what the presence of film and television production means for our economy and why opponents want to end those incentives. We're joined by Beth Petty, who's director of the Charlotte Regional Film Commission. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Nice to have you with us. She, of course, is in our Spirit Square studio. And joining us by phone is Bill Vassar, Executive Vice President of Screen Gem Studios here in North Carolina. And he's joining us by phone from Wilmington. Thank you for being here as well.
Good morning, Mike. Great to be here.
Nice to have you here. Give us the backstory, Beth. When did North Carolina decide to get into the movie and TV business by offering these incentives that are currently in force?
In 2005 was the first time that we passed that incentive program at 15%, and then we went back and passed it again, tweaked it around 2010 to 25%. That's on goods, services, and labor.
And what drove that decision to do that, to offer those incentives?
We needed to be competitive. You know, we were losing business every day to other states. There's probably as many as 40 states across the country that have some kind of film incentive program, and we needed to increase our incentives, and we needed to get into the game.
Screen Gems is a brand that I think anybody who's watched television in the last 60 years or gone to a movie is familiar with because of the Screen Gems logo on so many television shows in the past. The fact that they are in Wilmington and not just in Hollywood on a kind of an ongoing permanent basis must mean something, Bill.
I think it means an awful lot. Let me also clear things up that Screen Gems used to be a part of Columbia Pictures, and this division of Screen Gems was bought by the Cooney family of New York. George had been a vice president with Sony out of L.A., and the studio portion of it, the commercial portion of it, is independently owned solely by the Cooney family of New York. It's a privately held company.
Okay, so they bought the brand name and they moved it to Wilmington. But they moved it to Wilmington.
It's Wilmington. It's Charleston. Okay. It's Atlanta. It's New York City, and we do have commercial production facilities and offices in Los Angeles.
And how much are you involved in shooting down there on a regular basis?
I'm the operator of the movie studio, so I am involved in.
Well, I mean, not you personally, but how much is Screen Gems involved in shooting on a daily basis?
Well, just today we're doing an episode of Under the Dome for CBS. We're doing an episode of an HBO show called Eastbound and Down.
Oh, yeah.
We are getting ready to shoot in 2 weeks for a new Fox series called Sleepy Hollow. We're pretty much involved in one way or the other, whether it be just offices or lighting grip equipment or now the digital daily business, stage business, with just about everything that comes through Eastern North Carolina.
And Army Wives, I believe, shoots in South Carolina, which is not too far from here. But how do we compare, Beth, in terms of the incentives that we offer studios and independent producers to come here and shoot and use North Carolina or Charlotte for Homeland and Banshee as a backdrop?
Well, actually, the Charlotte Regional Film Commission, we represent four counties in South Carolina, so our region extends into South Carolina. And South Carolina just recently tweaked their incentives. They're back at 30% on goods and services, 25% on in-state labor, and 20% on out-of-state labor.
Explain that. What does that mean, 30%, 25%, et cetera? What does that mean?
30% on goods and services.
What does that mean?
Coming in, you're going to receive a 30% rebate or refund on the goods and services that you use within the state vendors, 25% refund on in-state labor, your crew, which can come from anywhere. You can bring your crew in from outside of the state or within the state. And outside of the state, it's going to be a 20% return.
And so that's South Carolina, correct?
That's South Carolina.
What is North Carolina?
North Carolina, it's a 25%. On goods, services,
so
and labor.
So let me get this straight. If I come in as a film producer and I decide, okay, I'm going to shoot in Charlotte, I'm going to shoot my TV series in Charlotte, and I need to go out today because we're shooting an episode and I need office supplies, I need to buy desks, I need to have fake computers, I need to whatever I need, I'm going to buy that stuff or rent it or whatever, and then I'm going to file with the state later on and get 25% of what I spent back.
From an
correct?
In-state vendor.
From an in-state vendor. I'll get 25% of that back from the state.
Also, as a producer, you are going to pay a full state sales tax of 7.25% on it.
Okay. That's correct.
So what's the bottom line there? Is it a wash for the state? If they're getting the sales tax, but they're also giving you 25% back, are they actually making money at the state level because you are bringing employment to the state?
They are making money. For every dollar in tax credits, production spend $10 in the state of North Carolina. Last year, it was $376 million were spent in our state.
Okay.
From these productions. That employed something like 4,000. I think it was – Bill, do you know exactly how much we gave back last year?
If it's $10 for every dollar we give back, then it was over $1 billion. And the way that you calculate that is you have to take into consideration where the money is spent and how many people are employed because of it. If you rent 1,000 nights in a hotel room, well, that's revenue going locally, and that's additional jobs to clean the rooms. If you are buying food to feed a crew of 200 people, that food's being bought locally, and that's additional drivers to deliver the food to the production. You're buying all your fuel locally. You're buying all you're renting all your vehicles, the trucks and automobiles, and that usually means additional employment at the car rental company. So that's where the secondary impact is. It's not just the film industry and the money that's spent. It's how it's spent and the employment that it generates throughout the community.
Why do studios, they have this vast infrastructure in Hollywood that's been there since the beginning of the movie business and grew exponentially when television came onto the scene. Why did they move productions out of California when they have
it's
the infrastructure?
Expensive.
Why?
It's way expensive. The crews are more expensive out there. It's also more expensive to produce. Let's say you have locations that you can use to shoot in North Carolina as well as California. Well, in Charlotte and also in Wilmington, it's called the expense of the company move. If you want to shoot in three locations in the course of a day, you can move that company twice. In California, you can't move it. It's just too expensive.
And when the crews, you know, all these shows and all these films that are done, the big motion picture studio films and TV shows, they bring the stars in from California or from New York or from London. And a lot of extras get employed who are local actors. A lot of how many of the crew come in from the surrounding area here? How many of the crew live here?
It's the goal when you're doing a television show to do 100% employment from this area. Because of the cost savings, you don't have to pay per diem, hotel, living expenses. So Charlotte has an incredible base for incredible crew base. Wilmington, we can comfortably handle 5 total productions at a time without bringing anyone in. But you will have larger movies, like, say, Iron Man, where they have people at a certain level of their craft that they feel they have to bring in from California or other places in the world, but they have to be payrolled the same way a North Carolina person is, and they have to pay North Carolina income tax. And they also have to pay for the per diem and the living expenses. Mm-hmm. There's a tax on that.
NBC's Revolution shot in the state for a while, moved later to Texas. CBS's brand new summer series Under the Dome is being shot, as you said, here. Homeland's in production. They're working on episode 5 of the season right now. They're here in Charlotte. Cinemax's Banshee is here in Charlotte. Several films have been shot in this area in Charlotte, and of course it happens in Wilmington all the time. Is all of this due to the incentives that were put in place in 2009, I think you said? All of it?
A lot of it, absolutely. Since just in the recent months in the Charlotte area, we've had Evergreen Christmas, an independent film that shot here. We've had Shuffleton's Barbershop and Hallmark Hall of Fame. We've had Careful What You Wish For just recently wrapped. That's an independent. Sleepy Hollow was a Fox pilot that just recently shot here. As you said, Homeland's in production. Banshee's in production. We have other shows that are coming through the area and scouting. We have another independent film that's here on the ground. All these shows were here because of that incentive.
And because of all these shows that have been shot here in recent years, is that creating some kind of a centrifugal force? Is that causing more people to become interested in this area because, A, it obviously has a lot of location, different location choices, and, B, there is a critical mass now of technical people and behind-the-scenes people who can make this happen?
Absolutely, and that doesn't happen overnight. That takes a long time to build that infrastructure, and we've done it. And it would be such a shame to see all this disappear.
What do we get out of it? The average person who only turns the TV on or goes to the movies once in a while, what do we get out of this? Why do we care?
It's creating jobs and opportunities here in this region. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of jobs that it's created over time. Like I said, just in the last year, over 4,000 full-time crew positions, over 15,000 local part-time actors that are getting jobs here, the goods, the services that are being used in our community. It's just an unbelievable amount of money that's being spent.
I was out on the shoot for the HBO program last week, and I counted about 20 people that had either come through here working at a low-level job in our lighting and grip department or had been interns or had come through the University of North Carolina at Wilmington, who were all working in highly compensated positions on that program. So we are replenishing the crew here. Because when the film industry started 30 years ago, a lot of your workers were in their 40s. Well, now they're hitting up into the 60s and early 70s. And it was really interesting one day when the Marvel people were here for their first visit, and they were thinking about bringing Iron Man here. And they pointed out something I didn't even realize. As a film production was breaking for lunch, there were all these younger people mm-hmm. walking out of the stage towards the commissary. And this one executive said to the other executive, "See, those are all sons and daughters of people who are in the industry, or most of them. And they grew up at mom and dad's knees." So the quality of the person who grows up here, grows up in the industry here, is far superior than workers in other parts of the world.
What kind of incentives do other industries get? Are they comparable to what the film industry gets?
No, because in North Carolina, you have to spend your money before you get your money back. There's a incentive for the airline industry that's at the Charlotte Airport. Mm-hmm. NASCAR receives incentives. The difference being you have to spend your money and prove that you're qualified on that spend to the Department of Revenue before you get your money back.
Bill Vassar is Executive Vice President of Screen Gems in Wilmington. Beth Petty is Director of the Charlotte Regional Film Commission. We have to take a break. We'll come back with more and hear the other side in a moment as well. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Wells Fargo, working with Grameen America to help provide microloans to low-income women throughout Charlotte. Details on Wells Fargo's work in the small business community at wellsfargo.com/commitment. Charlotte South End, it's hip, it's growing, it's happening. It's a vibrant area of the city, but it wasn't always that way. And if you're a newcomer who was here maybe in the 90s or the 2000s, you don't remember when South End was a deep, dark, vacant, semi-dangerous place. At least it felt that way. It wasn't always that way either, because it started in the 1850s with the arrival of the railroad. So we're going to talk about the ups and downs and the history of South End tomorrow at 9.
Costa Rica exports coffee, bananas, pineapples, and carbon credits. That's because the country is changing the way it grows food. From small farms to giant plantations, Costa Rica's growers are on a quest to cut greenhouse gas emissions any way they can. They plan to be certified carbon neutral in just 8 years. Zero Carbon Costa Rica. Next time on The World.
Join us this afternoon at 3 o'clock here on 90.7 WFAE, listener-funded public radio.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about film incentives in North Carolina and what they have done to bring film and television production to the state with Beth Petty, who's the director of the Charlotte Regional Film Commission, and Bill Vassar, who is executive vice president of Screen Gems. He's joining us by phone from Wilmington. But they're going to take a little break for just a second or two while we take a look at the other side of this, because as we said in the beginning, there are some legislators who want to end economic and tax incentives offered to film companies to shoot here. And here to explain why, we've asked Brett Lane to join us. Brett is director of the Center for Competitive Economics at UNC Chapel Hill. He, too, joins us by phone. Welcome.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. What is your principal, and what is the principal disagreement of those in the legislature that they have with the film production and the incentives associated with it? What's the problem here?
Well, I think we need to appreciate that the legislature is looking at a lot of forms of economic development incentives and considering whether different types of incentives are producing the desired economic results. So there are a number of economic incentives for a variety of industries that are being looked at for elimination or change, and the film industry is just one of those. But I think the primary reason I think that they're concerned about the film industry is that the film industry, particularly incentives provided to very large budgets, like we call them, you might call them Hollywood productions, Iron Man 3 being the preeminent example, don't produce lasting, sustainable economic benefits, and most particularly, they don't produce permanent jobs. And at the heart of it, that's what economic incentives are intended to achieve, permanent jobs. And that is certainly not a product of a temporary Hollywood production.
But as one of our guests, Bill Vassar, pointed out, it's the nature of that business to move from job to job. And if you have a second generation of people coming up in the industry who are the sons and daughters of previous employees in the film industry in North Carolina, that would indicate to me that although they may be unemployed for a period of time between productions, they're building a life here and they're making a living here doing what they're doing in the film industry. So isn't that a kind of permanent job?
Well, I think we're doing a disservice to your listeners by referring to the film industry as if it was monolithic, as if it was only one type of production. I've spent quite a bit of time on the film industry, and I will tell you that the television, and particularly the series part of the film and TV industry, is a very different economic animal than major Hollywood film production.
Mm-hmm.
And series in particular do produce those longer-term sustainable employments that legislators or citizens or taxpayers are all interested in supporting. It's particularly the brief deluge of spending that Hollywood production brings that are the most inefficient for the state.
But we still get money into the Treasury from that. I know we're giving money back. But
I appreciated the comments of Beth in particular about the incredible job numbers that industry-sponsored studies claim for film incentives, because they are literally incredible. They are not believable. As other states have looked objectively at the returns they see on their film incentive programs, state after state has found that films, rather than producing $10 for every one, actually produce a few cents back for every dollar in state incentive.
How so?
Well, because they don't produce the sort of economic activity that the industry-sponsored studies claim. Massachusetts found they were only getting 16 cents back for every dollar incentive. Connecticut, only 7 cents back. Louisiana, big proponent, only 13 cents back. And these are the kind of studies that independent analysis show poor return on state incentives for film.
But how can that be? If you're coming in and you are spending, in North Carolina, you have to spend at least $250,000 to qualify to get the 25% return on investment from the film industry standpoint, and it costs millions of dollars to produce television programming and movies. So if they're dropping millions of dollars and they're hiring caterers and carpenters and grips, and they're hiring chauffeurs, and they're renting hotel rooms and et cetera, and all that stuff trickles down throughout the economy, how can that not be worth 25% rebate?
Mike, I know that all sounds very impressive, but every business spends money in our state. Our incentives aren't intended to award spending. They're intended to award investment in people, investment in training, investment in jobs, investment in infrastructure, investment in plants, the things that yield sustainable returns year after year. We don't incent any other industry in this state merely for spending money. We reward them for investing and creating jobs, permanent, sustainable jobs. And we don't refund tax liability to any other industry except the film industry when what they spent doesn't yield the tax liability.
And you have said,
so we treat these very differently, and the returns are not proportionate for what we see and expect of other types of incentives.
You have said that incentives to any industry are akin to buying jobs, but you say that the jobs we get through film incentives are simply rented.
And that is particularly true when we look at things that are not under the dome, or that are not One Tree Hill, or that are not Homeland. Those are very different types of productions than the Iron Man 3 and the big film productions. But the big film productions are what are really costing us a tremendous amount of incentive.
But can you have one without the other? Would you have Homeland and the series that are shot here on an ongoing basis without the incentives that also attract the films?
Well, whether we can or not, we have. We have been a host to a number of series over the years, even before we had the sort of incentives that are in place now, because we have exactly what Bill was referring to. We have, in some cities, very strong crew bases, very strong infrastructure. The Screen Gem studio predates any form of financial incentives. So we have a proven track record from an industry standpoint of high-quality people and producing high-quality work.
Except
it's elaborate Hollywood productions that prove
okay. Well, I talked yesterday to some people who are involved in Homeland, and they said the instant that these incentives go away, they're gone as well.
Well, that's certainly bring into question whether this is a desirable industry to underwrite. If it's an industry that we have to re-incentivize,
we underwrite lots of industry. We incentivize the Chiquita Banana to come to Charlotte. We incentivize all kinds of people to come here. We just gave $87.5 million to the Panthers.
Mike, you understand that it would be as though you had to give $25 million in incentives to the Panthers every year to get them to come back the next year. It's the lack of sustainability that makes these such a questionable investment from an incentive standpoint.
Now, one of our guests, Bill Vassar, who's from Screen Gems, says that between 2007 and 2013, the direct spending from TV and film productions in North Carolina totaled more than $1 billion, yet the cost of the credit for the same time period was just over $101 million. If I did the math, that's a ratio of 10 to 1, and that sounds like a pretty good investment to me. Why is it not?
Because spending is not a sustainable contribution to the economy. How much did they invest in fixed infrastructure and people, and why does it require a renewal of incentive every year? That itself is rather damning.
Isn't the answer to that the fact that if you don't have incentives, well, South Carolina and Virginia and Tennessee and Georgia do, that's where they're going. You'll lose all the spending money.
Well, Mike, you bring up an interesting point. Many states have played at the incentive games and have won at the incentive game by outbidding other states and then realized what a losing proposition that was and have been dropping their film incentive programs.
Are we losing money on this deal? Or is it costing the state money and the taxpayer money to have these incentives?
For the sort of series production that we've been referring to, I think you can make an argument that they are making money as a state. In terms of economic benefit, for temporary large film productions, I can't see that argument being made economically.
Well, does one wash the other out?
No, they do not.
So are we? Are we making money net?
No, we are not making money net on the way the program is structured right now. And not only that, there's no cap to what we may end up spending on film credits. It's grown significantly just the last two or three years.
Well, it has. The Raleigh News and Observer reports that incentives sought in North Carolina have increased from less than $8 million 4 years ago to nearly $70 million last year. But doesn't that mean that more films are being shot, more TV shows are being shot here, bringing more money in?
It does mean that more films are being shot here. It does not mean that we're making economic returns on those spendings. The fact that we're selling more but losing money on them is a dubious achievement.
Explain to me how we're losing money. I really do want to understand this. Because
from a state standpoint, we are not seeing the amount of tax receipts back that we are offering in the incentives. That's why there's a refundability to these things. If the spending by the production doesn't yield enough taxes to the state that they could then write off as a credit, they instead simply get a check written to them for the amount that they weren't liable for on taxes. That on its face demonstrates that the state loses money in terms of revenues on these productions.
The UNC Center for Competitive Economics, which is where you are, at UNC Chapel Hill, published an evaluation of North Carolina's economic incentive portfolio in which it said that the state incentives are most effective in influencing business decisions when prospects are mobile, well-matched to local resources, other location factors are competitive, tailored to company's specific priorities, when the company employs local residents and has a catalytic effect on local suppliers. All of this sounds like what filmmakers need and what they bring.
And that is actually very true about the film industry. But there's a difference between incentives that influence decision-making versus incentives that produce the kind of jobs and economic activity that sustains our economy. I will absolutely concur that the state's film credit has been effective at bringing more industry to the state. However, the type of industry that it has brought has not been economically effective for the state. And again, the distinction between a series that may run for multiple years and employ crew bases year after year is very different and much more successful in terms of economic growth than a 3 to 6 month film production, no matter how large it is.
And to underline that, you say that film subsidies attract productions to the state but are a bad idea if you're measuring results on conventional economic development outcomes. Most times, you say, we give an incentive to a company, and if they leave 5 years later, everybody is upset. You give an incentive to a film company, you know they're going to be gone in 3 months. But in the 3 months that they've been here, they have employed people, they have spent money, and we used to talk before the recession about this being a consumer-driven economy in which if we don't spend money, there is no economy. So isn't spending money a good thing?
I will say no, it's not a good thing. Not a good thing when what we want are companies that stay and employ people year after year without a continuing annual subsidy. What's perceived as the worst economic incentive deal in this state's history, Dell Computer in Winston-Salem, was better in terms of economic outcomes than the most successful film credit deal in the state, which would be Iron Man 3. The economic benefit of Dell, even though they stayed only 4 or 5 years, was better for what the state spent on that than what we saw out of 3 or 4 months of production by Iron Man 3.
Are there intangible benefits to having an industry like the film industry, and that includes television, locate to a large degree in a state? In other words, this is a clean industry. They don't pollute. They do create jobs, even if they're short-term jobs. They obviously have created several generations of jobs in behind-the-scenes activities. So isn't there – and also it puts us on the map. I mean, people see scenic backdrops and they want to know where Shallow Hal was filmed. It was here in Charlotte. You see the city of Charlotte, which gives us publicity we can't afford to buy. Are there not intangibles?
Well, you're certainly right, Mike. It is publicity we can't afford to buy. There are intangible benefits. You can see within Wilmington and within Charlotte and some other areas of, where there has been year after year activity, we have attracted some very creative people, highly skilled people, and that's a very positive outcome, particularly of series production going on in those cities.
So, could,
there are benefits.
So could the incentives be restructured to attract and keep series production at the expense of what you see as a boom?
Absolutely, and I hope that's one of the things the legislature will look at. Our best incentives in North Carolina are the ones that are based on performance outcomes, and those performance outcomes are job-related. Restructuring our current incentives for the film and television industry to put a greater emphasis on employment creation is ideally what we'd be doing for the very attractive aspects of the economy that, that certain types of film and TV production do offer.
Brent Lane is director of the Center for Competitive Economics at UNC Chapel Hill. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome. I lose Bill Vassar from Screen Gems in a few minutes here, and I want to get your reaction.
No, I don't think you're going to.
You know, I'm not going to lose you. Or I'm not going to get your reaction.
You'll get my reaction.
Okay. give me your reaction to what he had to say.
Well, just on Iron Man 3, a lot of people don't realize that there's a cap on how much spend there can be to qualify for the incentive. It's $80 million to get $20 million back. Iron Man spent over $170 million, which to me, I think that means the incentive was about 12 to 12.5%. And just on the cost of labor, which pays income tax, I think you've made it back. It made it back more than a buck to a buck.
Let's use
getting the ancillary spend in the area and in the state.
Let's use that film as an example. Robert Downey Jr. plays Iron Man. I don't know what he made for that film, but we know that it's in the millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Does he pay North Carolina income tax because he shot the film here and he was working in the state? Does he pay?
Well, he did pay tax based on his work here up to a certain amount. Yes.
What would that amount be? Because a movie star can make $100
million. I don't know what he was paid, and I know most of what his compensation for a film like that is based on the gate. So, it would not qualify for anything over $1 million. So that's another thing that I don't think any other state has, is that we do not provide the tax incentive for highly compensated individuals. So it taps out at it caps out at $1 million.
We seem to have a disparity in numbers here. That the state is looking at the numbers the film people produce and say they're not accurate. You're looking at the numbers the state produces and you say they're not accurate. Is there any way to get an accurate, quantifiable number that tells us what the return on investment is?
I'm sure there is, but any way you look at it, it's going to be somebody's best guess. And there is such a disparity between those who are in favor of the industry and
right.
those who are against, because they're using different qualifiers. Now, if somebody sat down and did an RFP on this and said, this is what we want to look at, let's all agree on this, you go do your study and we'll do ours, I think that's the only way to get a fair.
And can I keep you a little longer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm fired up now.
Okay. All right. We have to take a break. We're going to add another person to the panel here in a second as well. We're talking about film incentives in North Carolina. Are they worth it? We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Lenoir Ryan University graduate programs offering master's degrees in a variety of disciplines from the Hickory, Asheville, and Columbia, South Carolina campuses. Details at lr.edu/graduate. Egyptians across the country are calling for the resignation of President Mohamed Morsi. The latest on the mass protests in Egypt coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. If you'd like to join our conversation, WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks is a great place to begin, or if you want to hang on the phone forever, 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323, 800-603-WFAE, and we're coming right back.
Hey, it's us, Click and Clack from Car Talk. You know, lots of us feel sentimental about our old cars.
I call mine rusty.
Appropriately so, I might add. Well, if it's time to trade up, why not do something meaningful with your beloved old car and turn it into Morning Edition or All Things Considered?
That's what happens when you donate it to the station.
Find out how easy it is to support your favorite WFAE shows using the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Learn more at WFAE.org. And thanks for your support.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about film incentives in North Carolina and how they are used to bring business to the state, film and television production business to the state. Beth Petty is with us in our studio. She's director of the Charlotte Regional Film Commission. Bill Vassar has been joining us from Wilmington, where he's executive vice president of Screen Gems Studios, and will be joined by an independent film director and producer in just a moment here. Our previous guest, Brent Lane, director of the Center for Competitive Economics, kept talking about how the jobs brought here and created by the film and television production industry are temporary jobs. They're not the kinds of jobs that we want, and certainly not the kinds of jobs that we want to give incentives to, because we want to incentivize businesses to come here who will create permanent, ongoing, full-time employment for people. How many people did the film and television industry employ last year in North Carolina? Does anybody have a number?
Full and part-time?
Yes.
14,000.
And what about just full-time jobs?
I don't have that number okay. right in front of me.
When he talks about the nature of these jobs, because people are jobbed in to do a movie, and when the movie wraps, they're done. The same is true of a lot of work that goes on here in the various theaters in town. When the job is done, the job is done. You look for the next job. Is that the case in series television production? I mean, these things shoot over the course of many months, don't they?
Well, you'll have full-time employees that work the length of the show, and then, let's say, as you're building new sets or you're rigging new lighting, they'll bring people in as day workers.
But in Wilmington, for instance, where you have studios, and there are a lot of shows that are find themselves having permanent homes there, if you've finished on one series, are you not likely to be moving right next door to the next series?
Yes. In fact, we're finding that right now, where people are moving from let's say, Eastbound and Down over to Sleepy Hollow. People are moving from Tammy over to Sleepy Hollow.
So your paycheck, the person who writes and signs your paycheck, changes, but you're essentially staying employed.
Yeah.
So is that Absolutely. Part of the problem here, that they see these people working for, let's just say, Warner Brothers on one series, that series ends, and the next day they go to work for NBC? It's a different employee, a different employer, rather. So is the state seeing this in out of context?
Well, I think the state sees it in context. I think it's those who just have decided film incentives are not a good thing, and this is the way that they're trying to look at, have people look at it through their glasses.
So, Beth, is this a matter of principle? The people who would be against in the legislature, who would be against film incentives, are really against incentives because they want the marketplace to operate unfettered?
You know, I can't speak for everyone, but certainly it seems that way. It certainly seems that way. And it would be a shame to see this industry disappear in the state. North Carolina's had a very, very long history of film and television production. I mean, for years and years and years. And we have an unbelievably creative and talented crew base here. Hundreds of people in the Charlotte area that depend on these jobs and these opportunities.
Scott on Facebook writes, I'm a local actor, and I have to say, since the film incentive package went live a few years ago, this area has been booming. I don't get why some would want to end the incentives. They must realize that if they stop the incentive, these productions will pack up and leave, taking their money with them. This will hurt productions, both large and small. I have firsthand knowledge of a local production that was set to film here, and at the last minute, almost completely uprooted to Atlanta at the Hint. that this incentive was being rolled back. Luckily, it was saved, but it shows that without this incentive, North Carolina's recent boom will turn into a bust. Chris on Twitter, I'm a production industry professional and can assure you the bottom line is kill the incentive, kill the jobs. Bill from Matthews says, I was on the set of a newly shot in North Carolina movie called Careful What You Wish For last month, and the film producer was talking about how North Carolina has lost some film projects simply because the state is considering changing the incentives.
One thing, pertaining to that, you know, Brett talked about television series work. Well, you know, we've got a sunset on this incentive, which is January 1, 2014, which is coming up basically 18 months from now. Mm-hmm. And if you are a television series, you're maybe reluctant to start up this fall season because you want to be somewhere and keep a show going for 3, 4, 5 years. And if there's an uncertainty about the incentive coming the beginning of January, ABC Studios, a division of the Walt Disney Corporation, put out an edict. No North Carolina this year, because we don't know where it's going in 2014.
Okay.
And I just returned from California, and I met with Lionsgate and Fox and CBS and Warner Brothers and DreamWorks, and all these people are interested in bringing projects here. And what Bill said is absolutely right. If we don't eliminate or extend that sunset clause, they can't start budgeting for projects in the state.
Okay. Blair in Belmont.
Another thing I'd like to point out, Brett, you know, Brett talked about incentives for infrastructure. We at Screen Gems would love that, but we've never asked for it. The tens of millions of dollars that we've invested in this studio, in the equipment and the training of people, we did it ourselves.
I want to bring
a private company taking the money out of our pocket, banking on the film industry.
I want to bring another guest into the program here. Richard Clark is a producer, writer, director, and partner of an independent film support organization called The Indie, I-N-D-E-E. He has produced two seasons of a national cable television show called Tainted Love for the Halogen Network and has worked on several full-length feature films in the past several years. We asked him to join us because it isn't just Hollywood that is producing work in North Carolina. There is a growing independent film industry that has blossomed here in recent years, and we wanted to see if and how they are impacted by the current incentives and the possibility that those incentives might be disappearing. Richard Clark, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
How much independent film work is being done here, and what does that do to the bottom line of the state's tax coffers?
It's almost unlimited. With the talent and everything around this area, there's films popping up everywhere. The indie film world, I guess we kind of see it, apparently, according to one guest, kind of ignorantly. If I give you 10 apples and you give me 2 apples back, you still have 8 apples.
Yeah.
So for us, that's how we do the math on the film incentive and how it affects us.
I can't really figure out the math. I really don't understand it, because if the incentive is 25% back, if you spend at least $250,000, that's a lot of money that we've taken in even after we give the money back.
I'm clearly missing something, apparently.
So I don't understand. But according to the Raleigh News and Observer, film production companies say they are owed more than $69 million from working in North Carolina in 2012, much of which will be paid in cash refunds. Can anybody explain that?
Did you see the op-ed piece?
No, I don't believe I did.
It came out on Sunday the 5th, and I happened to write it. So,
okay.
And it was in response to that. And it just, if anyone wants to go online for the Charlotte Observer and read it, it took on that article, which I believe was false.
Do independent filmmakers benefit directly from the incentives? Do you spend enough to benefit?
It depends. Wide range. One, the projects that don't spend enough still benefit because you have talented cast and crew that are here that wouldn't be here if these bigger projects weren't here, because they're going to move out. We have $1.2 million of incentive coming back to us for a reality show that we did last year. So it's independence, the full gambit. So some do, some don't.
So let's talk about the critical mass of people that live and work here. Even though they job out. In other words, their job may last 6 months and then they're out of work for a month or two until they find a new series or project to work on. These people are here because the work is here, correct? They could be in California. They could be in Georgia. They could be elsewhere.
Absolutely. And I think even out of work, I guess technically is the definition of what they are, but that's the industry. It's just moving on to the next job.
Right. Well, what about that criticism that Mr. Lane had a couple of minutes ago, that these are not the kinds of jobs that we want? We want full-time, ongoing, steady employment, because when you're out of work, you're on unemployment.
I think everybody loves Carowinds, and I don't really see anybody being mad at them for not hiring lifeguards in the winter.
But Carowinds isn't being incentivized.
For me, I just think that logic with it being full-time, because everyone that I know that works in this industry, there may be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks in between, they're full-time employed. I mean, we might talk semantics in the definition of full-time employed, but these people are here because they know the majority of 365 days a year they're going to have a job.
Have you guys talked – you must be talking to the legislators who are not in favor of these incentives. Are independent filmmakers talking to them as well?
Absolutely. We just did an article in the Gaston Gazette with our film studio that we're starting for independents for the smaller group. It's dependent on that. I mean, we don't expect to get an Iron Man 3. We can't support the type of projects that Screen Gems does. But just the overall and the Facebook comment about the movie that moved to Atlanta and came back, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure we're talking about the same project. They didn't come back. They were going to come back, and then they just moved somewhere else completely.
So when you talk to these legislators, Beth or Bill, what do they say in response to your objections to the possible elimination of these incentives?
They don't believe in incentives of any kind, and there just seems to be a wall that's been put up against the film industry. I do not understand the logic. I do not understand why they don't want to discuss it, or if they do want to discuss it, they discuss it and turn around and go right back to their position.
What would the loss be if the incentives are in fact eliminated? They go away. What paint the picture? What would happen?
Well, one of the things that we did, we've expanded our equipment business into Charleston, and we've expanded into a new studio facility that went online a couple years ago in Atlanta. So we can move our equipment anywhere, and we can subrent that equipment anywhere in the world. So we've set up an insurance policy. But I'll tell you, I don't want to see this place, with tumbleweeds all the way through it, blowing around every day. That would be just devastating, not just to us, but to the community, to the rental companies, to the gas station down the street, to the pizza makers, to everybody in this town. Iron Man used over 700 different vendors when they were here. All of that goes away.
Yeah. A lot of people don't understand that when the banks downsized at the depths of the recession, a lot of local printers suffered because they weren't printing what they used to print. And a lot of local attorneys suffered because they moved headquarters away and they didn't need the headquarter attorney type situation. The same is true, I'm sure, in the film industry. There's a conversation going on about what to do with Eastland Mall. And one of the people involved in proposing the next life for Eastland Mall is to turn it into a film studio. Indy, which is headquartered in Gastonia, you've already referred to this as trying to build your own version of this. You see yourselves growing into an old-style Hollywood model where cast and crew work full-time. That would take away that argument that you're not creating full-time jobs. Do you need the incentives to do that?
For the money, absolutely. Because the people that we want to employ full-time, without the incentive, they're not going to be here. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to where that money is. I think that side of the argument, they keep convincing themselves that if the incentives aren't here, Iron Man 3 is still going to come because everybody loves the state so much. And I guess what's kind of aggravating, people do love the state so much. We don't have to be the best. We just have to be competitive. Of course, people do want to come here and film.
What is it about North Carolina that they love, aside from the incentives, obviously?
It's everything. It's a combination of factors. The fact that location-wise, we can play almost anything. I mean, the Hunger Games, the Charlotte region played an apocalyptic, futuristic environment. Homeland, we're playing Washington and Virginia. Banshee, we're a small town in an Amish, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So in Wilmington.
But you can't do that anywhere else? You have to be in North Carolina? You couldn't do that in Georgia, in the surrounding area surrounding Atlanta? You couldn't do it in, Nashville or Knoxville, Tennessee?
You can do some of the same things in those places. But in North Carolina, there's so many variety of locations in such close proximity. I mean, you've got the mountains to the ocean. You've got everything. And in Charlotte, we have one of the busiest airports in the world. I mean, we're accessible. We have incredible crew base. across the state of North Carolina. There's just so many factors that bring people here. It's such a film-friendly community to work in.
One of the criticisms.
But, you know, on just about any show that comes here, mm-hmm. you will have someone that comes in from California to work. And I can't remember a show in the last 2 years where one of those people hasn't decided to sell their house in Los Angeles and move to Wilmington. We had two of them do that on Iron Man, and now the executive producer's wife, who spent last summer here, is looking for a permanent residence.
Yes, and I heard yesterday from people at Homeland that if they knew the incentives were going to continue, several of the cast members and several of the crew members would buy houses here.
We've already had a few.
One of the criticisms of North Carolina's incentive structure is that incentives are granted no matter how much money a film makes. For instance, Hunger Games grossed nearly $700 million worldwide. I think that's accurate. Did that film need the same incentives that one that would have made much less money at the box office might get? And should maybe the incentives be tied to profits? Should there be more given back to the state if it's rolling in dough at the box office?
It would never work because you're talking about two different.
Well, the stars are compensated that way. Why can't the state be?
Because the studios just won't do it. They just won't do it. They look at, you know, the department we're working with is the production and finance department of the studio, and they have X amount of dollars to produce a film, and they're going to do it wherever they can get the best deal.
Now, independent films, independent projects, don't bring in the kind of money that Iron Man 3 brings in. What kind of money do you bring in?
It just depends on the project. Like I said, we run the full gambit. But I think if you would ask any of the towns anywhere that we film, you look at movies like A Dirty Dancing and what it did for like a Lake Lure, or obviously Dawson's Creek and Wilmington and things like that. It's more our economic impact on a town. You asked earlier, what does it do for the normal person that's just getting this, getting that? For us, when we go to a town and we film, people love it. We spend money there. We spend every dime that we have there because our budgets are so small. So every dime we have goes to the town. People love us having it.
It's restaurants, it's hotels, it's car services, it's caterers, it's carpenters, it's paint stores. It's